tonight. If I make you feel all right, it's just four words. Romans chapter 1, we'll start in about verse 9. Got a few announcements to make. We raised $850 for our missionary this Sunday. Might announce that again coming up. We have a security meeting. If you're going to be on the security team, we have a meeting right after church. We will provide lunch for that this Sunday. Our first leadership meeting, if you're going to be a part of that, it's next Tuesday at 7. And then, let's see, Derek messed me up. Then Saturday the 13th, I think that's what it is. I'm preaching a men's conference, so all you men want to go, we're going to pile up out of here about 8 o'clock in the morning. I'm preaching at the 10 o'clock segment. Then there's lunch, so you'll get lunch out of it if you don't get nothing else out of it. And then what I consider my pastor is going to preach right after lunch so we can stay for it. He's probably the best preacher I've ever heard. So I'm kind of just going to hear him, but I can't believe they put us both in one meeting. That's going to be amazing. It might be an affair. But anyway, it's good. So I think that's all the announcements that I needed to make and wanted to make. If you have your Bibles, go to Romans chapter 1. Is there anybody saved in here? 1, 2, 6. All right, good. I'm just kidding. That's a joke. But hopefully you're saved tonight. If you're not, salvation's free. It's a free gift. God died at Calvary. Jesus died on Calvary for your sins and mine. At any time you want to repent of your sins and ask Him to be the Lord of your life, you can. If He's drawing on your heart and convicting you, I don't care if we're having a meeting on finances or for preaching the very gospel, you can get saved if God's in the place dealing with you. I believe this: one plants, one waters, and God gives the increase. I believe if you're under enough conviction, you can get saved just walking in the house. Amen. I got saved in a single wide trailer. And wasn't nobody preaching the gospel, just God showed up and got me saved. Amen. So hopefully you understand that tonight. I'm going to preach a message about being established as a Christian. And the second and the back part of it will be about you. If you're a person of ministry and how bad you want to be somewhere, but God sometimes don't let you be there when you want to be there. When you haven't arrived at your final destination. Hopefully none of you have arrived at your final destination yet. See, Paul was going to end up in Rome. That's where he was going to run across the finish line of this life into eternity. Amen? Until he got to that place, God was constantly making him. And I want to share with you tonight, He's constantly making you. All right, are y'all ready? Are y'all sound so... Scott, you was right. They're excited bunch, ain't they? They're just a fireball Wednesday night. Romans 1 chapter or 1 verse 9, "For God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of His Son, that without ceasing I make mention of you always in my prayers, making request, if by any means, now at length, I might have a prosperous journey by the will of God to come unto you. For I long to see you, that I may impart unto you some spiritual gift, to the end you may be established." Paul was desiring to get to Rome. He was hungry to get to Rome. I mean, he was letting them know, "I'm chomping at the bit. I'm praying for you. I'm excited to get there. God didn't tell him anything else, but you're going to Rome, remember? I'm sending you to the Gentiles, but I'm sending you to Rome." I bet when he first said... No, I'm going to go ahead. Hey, has anybody ever got a word from God and you thought He was going to send you the good way? Never mind. Have you ever got a word from God and you thought He was going to send you the easy way? Oh, wow, we're going to Rome. It must be a luxury ship, right? Nope. Prison, peril, beating, stripes, friends getting together and saying, "We won't eat until we kill you." Stuff like that, right? So it's lovely. Paul went through the long way, but he's got this ministry. And if God has a ministry in your heart, it won't matter how bad you get treated, you will love that ministry. You will love that place. I mean, he was just so excited. He was always praying, always on mission, always on point. I'm ready to go. But it seemed like God was saying, whoa, whoa, whoa. Not go, go, go. And sometimes God tightens up the reins on you and says you can't go as bad as you want to go. Amen? Now we'll get into that in a minute, but I just wanted you to think. I wanted to salt your appetite for that right there, and we'll get into that in a minute. What he says, why does he want to get there? For I long to see you. I love you. Do you love the people of God? Do you love them? Do you want to impart something to them? Listen to what he said. I want to impart unto you a spiritual gift to the end that you may be established. You know what he said? I want to sow into your life. I'm a preacher. I'm a teacher. I'm a writer. I want to sow into your life. I want to get you so hungry for your gift or your talent or your ability that you find it. Listen, I love to see souls saved. I love to see people come to the altar and give their life to Christ. I love when we hear that somebody got saved. But as much as I love that, I love to hear when some saint comes to me and says, I'm growing now more than I've ever grown in my whole walk. I'm learning more. I'm finding out what God wants me to do. See, there's so many people in churches today who are just sitting in churches and they don't have a clue what God wants to do with them. They just sit there and they're like, I guess I'm just here to hear messages and I guess I'm just here to be in the seat. No, God wants so much more out of you, and there's a calling and a gifting in your life, and God wants you to find that. And I want to be a vessel. I want to be a conduit, if you will. I want to receive the word and preach you a word that gets you turning and wanting to do what you have been established, what you've been called to do. Listen to what it does. It establishes you. Say preach, it'll be all right. Listen, hey, it establishes you. What does that mean? Salvation establishes you in heaven. Thank God, Kim. I speak down. Good, good. Good. No, salvation establishes you in glory. You've got a new name written down in glory, and it's mine. Oh, yes, it's mine. Hey, you got a new name, and it is written down. Praise God for that. But guess what? You're established in glory. You need to be established here. So you don't get established here. Guess what happens? Establish, when as soon as I hear establish or establishment, it means roots. It means you're putting something down. That way you're not a tumbleweed. You don't get blown away and roll around everywhere. You are not somebody who's always moving because you're not stuck. And guess what? You get your roots, you establish. Hey, you got skin in the game. You know. Listen, you want to get involved, find your gifting and calling where you get skin in the game. That way, when the devil comes along and rocks your world, because he's coming to rock your world, now he might come in a form that you don't believe he's coming in. It'll be real subtle. It might look like a friend, or it might sound like somebody is a believer, but they will come and it will rock your world. But God wants you to be so established in your gifting and calling, you start thinking like this. I can't leave. I feel like leaving. I won't leave. I'm thinking. I'm praying. I'm mad. I'm hurt. I'm frustrated. I'm hung. Something. But guess what? These kids, these adults, this class, these homeless, these people in prison, this what I'm doing, my family, I'm sticking. I'm established. Amen? I want you to find your gift, your talent, ability. And if that sends you to another place of operation, I'm happy. This should be a factory. Amen? It should be a factory of missionaries, evangelists, preachers, teachers. This should be a little bitty factory. And God should be plopping people out of here just like a little old factory assembly line. Here goes another preacher. There goes another missionary. There goes another. And you know what? You'll be somewhere serving God. And somebody say, why don't you quit, preacher? Why don't you give up? Why? Man, it's pretty tough. You'll say, I can't give up. I love this. I'm established here. God established my gift and calling. See, nobody has to tell me. Nobody has to tell me, well, you've been called. I know. Well, before I got called to preach, people would come by and tell them, God's calling you. Scare me to death. I mean, I'd go somewhere, I'd get all excited. See, listen, Derek, when I first got saved, I used to get excited.
I used to get tore out of the frame. I have mellowed out a lot. And sometimes I don't like it. But I have. I've mellowed. But I used to get sideways and I would shout and I would pray and I would, the craziest. And I know my kids, I'd get in and I would just cry. Just cry before God. The tears would just flow out everywhere. And I was just like, oh, God. And I know they're like, man, he's weird. And I was. Because I could not believe that God had let me into the kingdom. I can't even believe that he parted the doors just a little bit. I was even surprised that he even let me look in. In spite of letting me all the way in. But then one day, he said, I'm gonna call you to preach. And I did, man. And you know what? It drove roots down. It drove roots down, down deep, down deep. That way, I think about it all the time like this. I think of it in them palm trees down there in Florida. Amen. I love going down there. And the first thing I want to do is I want to see the beach. I want to see the ocean. And then I want to see the palm trees. That's it. That's about that order. Amen. And then I want to stay for about 7 days and then I want to come home. Because I'm Irish German. And I begin to glow after about 8 days, like nuclear. And there ain't enough aloe to keep me in Florida, amen? But I look at them palm trees and I know one thing, that their root system's half deep. It's half their root system, half as long as the tree is down under the ground. Those things are established on the front line of the beach. It's not just for a regular storm, but for when hurricanes come. They'll bend all the way to the ground. Every hotel, every house, every wood, brick, and mortar can be destroyed. But guess what? After the storm goes away, them old trees will just start rising back up. Why? Because they established their self to go through the good and the bad. Amen. You need to establish yourself. You need to be like, you know what? God, I want more of you. I need more of you. Feed me, grow me, and I'm going to get so deep into you, and I'm going to grow so far up that, praise God, I shall not be moved. And if you, hey, listen, I'm not just talking about your church attendance. I'm talking about your service to the King. I'm talking about where you serve God from, that you say, in your mind, I will not quit. That's what Paul wanted to do. And that's what, I'll be honest with you, that's my greatest mission here. I believe with all my heart. You know, there was times I was at the camp and I was seeing 20 men every 3 months come into the camp. And we were seeing about 16 of those get saved. About 16 of them. You know, but I had this desire. I had this burning heart. I always tell, I'm thinking about I should just go down there in Dayton, or I should just go down there in somewhere and just rent me a storefront and start me a little church. Man, church people need to hear this. I was tore out of the front. I didn't know what to do because I'd go into so many churches and they were preaching to the lost, which is great, but they wouldn't preach to their people. And I'm like, there's people who are saved in the church and they got no direction. No, they don't know what to do. Amen. And so I was sitting there going, man, God, I'd love to do that and this. And God said, in a season, I'm going to move you from doing this to that. And you know what he did? He established somebody behind me that could take over and put his roots down when we go into the next thing. And guess what? I'm going to make some of you established here too. Ooh. That scares me, brother. I don't know if I can handle it. Yeah, you can handle it. It's better not being established and rolling around everywhere. And people wonder, can I preach while I'm here? Where people watch your life and they try to figure out if you're saved or not because you roll around so much and get tossed with every little wind that blows and every storm that comes up. You move around. No, I'm not sure. And listen, your salvation is secure in God, but everybody else is trying to wonder why you're not established. It's not a salvation thing. It's because you never said, God, show me what I'm called to do and let me do it. Amen? Can I go ahead and preach a little bit deeper right here? You remember when he went by to the disciples at the very beginning, follow me, I'll make you fishers of men? He did not say if anything. If you're smart enough, if you're qualified enough, if you're tall enough, if you're short enough, if you're skinny enough, if you're fat enough, if you got enough education, if you're smart enough, if you're loud, if you're quiet, if you're overexcited, if you're an introvert or an extrovert, he said, follow me. So if he called you to be into salvation, he's got a calling in your life. Just say, God, I'll follow you. I'm not the most gifted. My gosh, I could preach on that the rest of the night. I'm not the most gifted person in the kingdom of God. A matter of time, most times I compare myself to one skill set. I'm a hammer, and I know it. Amen? I don't got a bunch of gadgets and tools and lights and fancy things. I can do one. I'm a one-trick pony. I can preach. It's fine with me. I don't have to do all the other stuff. Amen? Can you not play the piano? Can you not lead singing? No, I can't. But thank gosh for technology. I can break out a radio. No, I'm sorry. Where are we at? Verse 11. Boy, I thought we'd be further along. Some of y'all are in trouble. Verse 12, that is, that I may be comforted together with you by the mutual faith, both of you and me. I love how he said that. There's nothing more exciting. I'll tell you this a million times. I want you to believe it. I hope you establish it in your heart that you believe. I love nothing sweeter. It probably hooked me. It probably got me when I started preaching, is to hear somebody cry out for salvation. It did. I mean, if you ever hear it, it's sweet. But you really got to understand that's not you. You didn't save them. And if you did, they're in trouble. Amen? If God convicted them and brought them to that altar and they asked God to forgive them of their sins and He saved them, you ain't ever going to worry about them again. They got themselves a grade A number one champion daddy. Amen. A daddy who can correct and can bless. And He don't mind to do either one. Some of you daddies, you mind to correct, and some of you mind to bless. God don't mind to do either one. He's a real good daddy. Whew, never mind. Daddy knows, He knows exactly how to straighten you out. Amen? But listen, I want you to get this. There's nothing greater. There's nothing better for a preacher or a minister or a teacher or anything for somebody to come back 3 years, 4 years, 5 years, 10 years, 12 years and say, I'm teaching, I'm preaching, I'm running a boys' home, I'm going into prison ministry, I'm street preaching, I'm leading my family, I'm serving God, I'm going, God's got in my life and He's establishing me. Yeah, y'all didn't hear. Let me go back and read it because I don't think you got it. Either that or I'm just deaf. Verse 12, that is that I may be comforted, right? Did you hear that? Together with you by the mutual faith, both of you and me. Did you hear what he said? That I may be comforted and you become in the mutual faith. As I see your faith grow and you get established and you do your thing, it makes me happy. It comforts my soul. Man, there ain't nothing greater than getting a phone call from a man who was hooked on heroin, who now is 5 years sober and leading a ministry of his own and got his family in church. Man, you're sitting there going, thank God. Ain't nothing greater than when you get to see somebody that you raised them a boy who are now, they're out there sharing the gospel and leading kids to the Lord and then getting married and watching his family, listen, watching his family who came from a third world country sit in a mansion at his wedding and just look. I mean, these people came to this country because they didn't have enough food or enough way to supply themselves. And then their son was getting married on the beach to a beautiful girl. And they stayed in a mansion for 5 days, had more food than we could ever talk. I bet they were sitting there thinking, my God. And all that boy did on May 5th was climb up in a van one day and say this, I think I want to go back in the church because I think God wants to save me. Amen? And listen to this. And right after that, here's the establishing part. Every boy we had come in the boys' home who was trouble, you know what he would say? Now, I'm talking all about what? 5'1", whatever he is. He's short. He would say this. Put him in my room with me. I'll encourage them. I'll pray with them. I'll help them. All these other boys might say something or be mad or be, you know, defensive. I'll be there to help them. Just put them in my room. Whew. It's always good. It's always good. I think about just down the road, a young man by the name of Ben Parrish who used to come here and preach for us. It feels when his mom and daddy said, I remember talking to his daddy for the very first time after he graduated. I said, Ben is one of the best guys we got in the camp. He said, I don't have much hope for him. He goes, I'm at the end. The last time. And then to have years later, sit in our living room and him lead a Bible study, and his mom and daddy just sit there and they look and say, golly, wow. And then one day just walk up to him and say, man, this thing's yours. I'm going down the road. Amen? And him still be there and still be doing that, leading other men to Christ. That's what it thought. That I don't even hardly get excited anymore about stuff that we get to do. It's fun watching other guys get to do it. You should just, it'd be good. Wouldn't it be good to get a call from a little old girl or a little old guy that you mentor down the road and call you and say, hey, I just thank you for sharing Jesus with me. Thank you for studying with me. And because of you, I'm helping somebody else come to it. It'd be fun, wouldn't it? Well, you can't do it if you don't do it. Can't get the call if you don't do it. Well, man, I want to get to that next text. Something just keeps pulling me. But it gets messy. What if it's a whole lot of trouble to get another and establish and part of the gift of my, golly, yeah, it's a mess. And you'll get dirty, and you'll get mad, and you'll get frustrated, and you'll be out a few bucks. Maybe a couple meals. Your furniture might get, your cat, your chair, your house, your clothes. Never mind. You know what you'll say if they get saved? You know what you'll say? Do you know what you'll say if they start leading other people to Christ? It was all worth it. It was all worth it. Can I dig just a little bit deeper right there? That's why I don't really care much about church stuff. They'll mess it up. They'll tear it up. I don't care. I really don't care if they mess it up. If their soul gets saved, we can get it reupholstered. We can get it fixed. We can get it redone. Praise God! I want people to get saved. I want the dirtiest and nastiest and the worst to walk in here and feel comfortable. You'll be surprised if they get saved. They'll be the first ones to reupholster it. First ones to fix it, because they probably got more tools and more gadgets than you got. And they'll be more grateful because they'll be the people who said, you had the whole loaf, but all I had was a crumb. But when I got the crumb, I was grateful. There's too many churches. We're overloaded on the bread and we won't go on crumbs anymore. Heard that on the way here. That little woman just meat. Let the children eat. Praise God, let them eat. Just remember, I just want a crumb. Because I'll do more with the crumb than you'll do with the loaf. We'll come out of here foundered with another good word. What are you going to do with that word? Put it in the pocket, have another seed, have another big pocket full of, oh, I got it. We had a good word, we had a good message. What are you going to do with it? You should just waste your life for Christ and come back in here starving for a word. And then I wouldn't have to hardly preach anything. You'd be like, thank God! Man, I feel the Holy Spirit. Hold on. Verse 13. Now I would not have you ignorant, brethren, that oftentimes I purposed to come unto you, but was led hitherto, that I might have some fruit among you also, even as among other Gentiles. Okay, golly. Now listen, this is we're going to transition. Now we're talking about us as ministers, we're going somewhere. Have you ever wanted to go somewhere? Do anybody have any big aspirations? I got big dreams. I scare some of y'all. Some of y'all come to me and I just don't know if I don't know if I'd be in a big church or not. I want one of the biggest churches in this area. I do. I want one of the biggest churches in this area because we got what we got for the rest of the world to have. I want to build that other building, and not long after we build it, sit there and go, golly, we should have built this thing a lot bigger. We might have to build the other way now. And that scares some of you. You say, well, you better pray about somebody else coming and preaching because that's what I want. And that's what God's showing me. I don't want to sit here with a bunch of bread around them and say, man, this is good stuff. And man, I don't want a whole lot of people to get a hold of this. I want us to get down to the point where everybody's getting some. Amen? Ooh, I dug into something. But listen, I want you to get this. Hear the word. Now listen. Now I would not have you ignorant, brethren, that oftentimes I purposed to come unto you, but was led hitherto, that I might have some fruit among you also, even among the other Gentiles. I am a debtor both to the Greek and to the barbarians, both to the wise and to the unwise. I finally made it to my notes. Praise God. Amen. Are y'all excited? We're almost to the notes. You know what he said? I wanted to come to you so bad. I've big dreams and big aspirations. I want to get there so bad. I want to get there. I want to get to that place where God wants me. I want to get there. But you know what God said? I'm going to fill you up with fruit on your way there. See, what he said is, he said, I'm a debtor both to the Greek. That's the people that are super awesome blessing to you, and the barbarians, the people who scare you to death. God. They scare you to death, but they're the best people. The Greeks, a lot of times, will never hear you. They've got many gods. They've got a lot of money. They've got a lot of intelligence. They're so smart, and they're aristocratic, and they got it figured out. And when you go talk to them, they hear you, and they go, man, that'd be another great god to add to the list. God, can I preach right here, Mark? But listen to this. The barbarians are the people. Oh, they're the people that when you're shipwrecked and you dive off the boat, and the choice is, let's shoot them, or we'll let them swim, or we'll let the ones who can't swim ride on the planks and broken pieces of the ship, swimming, come on, man, swimming. Paul's like, swim, not shoot, because shot people can't swim. Sorry. I don't know if they'd have shot them. Maybe they'd cut them. I don't know. Killed them. Some of y'all are sitting here, I don't know if they had guns back then. Shut up. You're ruining it. But he thought about killing them, but he says, so God had found favor. Paul had found favor with one of the guards. He said, well, we don't want to kill them all. Just let them get to shore. Every one of them made it. Amen? Listen, every one of them jumped in the water and swam. And guess what? No, God, I almost lost my train of thought, but I didn't, Chris. You were thinking I was going to. But guess what? They rolled up on the shoreline, and all of a sudden, they're like, thank gosh we found this deserted island in the middle of nowhere. God is good. Bing, bing. Bing, bing. Them are eyeballs, by the way. Wait a minute. This island's not deserted. People come out that were in the tribe, barbarians, who lived in the woods. We're dead. They're going to kill us. Never mind. Y'all don't like how I preach, but I like this right here. Check this out. Have you ever rolled up into a situation, one situation when you deal with somebody that, you know, they got money, got a situation, you're not scared a bit. You go, oh, man, I can't wait to talk to them. But then you pull up in a certain place and God says, go over there, and you're like, oh, yeah. I just made it real right then, didn't I? See, when we was on the barbarian island, y'all like, yeah, judgmental and stuff. But now that we're, you know, down in certain parts of town or in certain neighborhoods or somebody that intimidates the fire out of you, maybe some 6'5" guy with muscles and he's got a big beard and he looks like he works on a construction, and he tells you, a little woman about 4 foot tall, to go over and just tell him Jesus loves him. And you're like, hey, he'll kill me. He'll rip both my arms off and beat me to death. Right? And I tell you, God will do this to you. He'll do it more than not. There'll be some people you minister to, and they'll be playing sports and hanging out and talking about the stuff you talk about, hunting and fishing and the weather. Woo, hey, boys, how y'all doing? Hey, man. And there'll be another group. You'll talk to God all the way over there. You sure, God, you know what these people you're talking about? Them guys, you know. Come over. I mean, I could drive down the road. Maybe you're talking about some other guys. Okay. Oh, yep. Seem like it's where we are. Lord, him? That guy? Yeah. Okay, Lord. Just like Paul, he rolls up on the shoreline. And guess what them old boys do? Worse. I mean, a bunch of ruffians. get out of that water. Drop, boys. We got a fire started. We've seen the shipwreck. We've seen you dive off. Get over here and get next to the fire and warm up, boys. It's good. We're good. Here's some meat. What is it? Whatever we cook here. Not a whole lot, but whatever we got, you can have it. You couldn't get a meal in the Greek's place. You couldn't get them to whip you up a pizza. You couldn't get they was trying to get you out the door. These people are saying, stay as long as you want. Never mind. He said, I was blessed for the Greeks and the barbarians and everywhere in between. God was building fruit in me. Every success I had was in the fruit. Every failure I had, every hurt. No, y'all don't like that kind of preaching, do you? Ever hurt. Ever hurts in there. See, I'll go this way. Success. Everybody likes success. Everybody likes a big harvest. I do. Whatever. I want a big harvest. Nobody likes that, you know, that failure when the storm comes and robs you of all that, right? And the harvest is laying on the ground. Frost hit, whatever the case may be. But I'm talking about the storms too. Amen? And the cutting. See, God will cut on you. And He'll let you hurt sometimes. God will come into your life and He'll bring a big old pair of snips and something you got in your life that you love and it's prosperous and it's good to God. And you know what He'll do? Cut it, slap off. That relationship, that friendship, that church, that ministry, that thing that you, man, I love, and you, God, I'm preaching. If y'all don't even get this, you'll tell everybody about it. Man, I got to do this. Man, I did that summer school, that vacation Bible school, that class, that person, that more. I was in that ministry. I do, and all of a sudden, slap, it's gone. God, I'm hurting. People go out of your life. I'm gonna say this. I said, if somebody's willing to walk out of your life, let them walk. Sometimes. I had to let that sink in. We try to get everybody to come back. Oh, my God, he's coming back. If they didn't like you and they don't want to be around you and they don't want to have nothing to do with you, let them walk. I begged some people to stay in my life and then I was the one praying, God, why did I get them back? And the answer was, I don't know. Sorry, that's too real for most of y'all in here tonight. Sorry. I like real stuff. I don't like that cotton candy stuff. I'm going to tell you the truth. Amen? If somebody wants to walk out of your life, let them walk. Sometimes you got to let them walk. If they're not what you're, they're not about what you're doing, they're not going where you're going, they're not going to help you do what you're doing, and they're like, I'm out of here. Well, praise God, go on. Whew, that's harder said than done. Some of you got some issues with that, but you can talk to me after church. I don't care. For a minute. I'm a debtor. Listen, in verse 15. This gets good. So as much as in me is, I'm ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. You know what he said? I'm ready now. Because when I first started preaching this is one of the first messages I ever preached without notes. First time God sent me down on a mission, has about 150 people there, most of them is homeless, and I'm there, it's on a winter night, and I mean God gave me this message and I preached it. I didn't preach at Rome because there's a lot of to it. As much as in me, the Holy Spirit's in me, as much as in me, I'm ready to preach to you at Rome also. But guess what? I've come to know later on now, that's all my experiences. Every success, every failure, and every hurt. See, you get more now than you would 5 years or 10 years ago. When I first started preaching, I was straight fire, but I didn't know much. Now I've got a little bit more experience. So my successes help me, my failures help me, and my hurts help me. You know why your hurts help you so much? It humbles you. Because if you ever really get hurt a lot, it's not easy to go up to somebody else and say, you need to get over yourself. Hey, Bill, you're so weak. When you've been really hurt, like you ain't never been hurt before, and you had to lay there on your back, you then go, whew, I kind of took it for granted. I kind of surface prayed for some people. Has anybody ever surface prayed for some people? until you got weak, until you got hurt, until you had loss, and then all of a sudden you're like, oh God, help me. But then all of a sudden you find out somebody's in the situation you're in. Oh God, I didn't know. God, some of y'all think, oh, it's the pain. No, it's the stir craziness. It's sitting there for hours. It's not knowing what's going to go on. It's laying in that hospital bed looking at the ceiling going, oh my gosh, they're going to put me to sleep. It'll change how you pray. It'll pray how you think. Amen? And it'll pray how you go into the room and how you leave the room. Oh, gosh. Whew. Y'all got more experience than me in that. Some of y'all should be shouting me down right there. There's about two or three of you in here right now going through. You should have been like, hallelujah, brother. I am figuring that one out. And I'm going to be a better Christian for it. My heart's going to help somebody. Some of y'all have got hurt so deep. You've lost a husband. You've lost a wife. You've lost some friends. And you are a big help when other people are hurting. Because you don't come in there like a long ranger. I'm going to save the day and give you a positive word. Just get over it, brother. You sit down with that sister. You sit down with that brother and you put your arm around him. You cry and say, God, I know exactly what you're going through. And I don't have the answers and I don't have the words. And you really don't need them. What you need is, I'll be sitting right here praying for you. And when you got to go somewhere and get alone, know this. I will be praying for you. Because I know how you hurt. Because I hurt like you. I hurt like you. Because he was ready. So as much as in me is, I'm ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. Because he's had experience. For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. To the Jew first and also to the Greek. He said, I'm not ashamed. Because I've learned through successes and failures, through the barbarians and the Greeks, through the good and the bad, I've learned that the gospel works everywhere for everyone. It does. The real, true gospel works for everyone and everybody. Somebody told me one time, how do you witness to drug addicts? How do you witness to homosexuals? How do you witness to people that are going through abuse? How do you witness to somebody that's atheist? You do it the same way. You share the gospel with them. The gospel is, it's a unanimous cure for sin. Look unto me and be ye saved. It's that simple. Look unto me. Look unto him. And you know what? You ain't got to do a whole lot to look. You ain't got to be smart to look. You ain't got to be in talent. You ain't got to be coordinated. All you got to do is kind of like shift your eyes and look unto him and be ye saved. As we all stand, as they come get a song. If God's dealt with your heart tonight, if you want to be more established, pray about that. If you're sitting in a situation right now and you're starting out in ministry, you've got some things on your heart, pray that God really, really nudges you and learn through your experiences right now. Some of y'all are going through some real hard experiences right now. When you're going through them, say, God, even through this, teach me, mold me, make me. There's people praying. Come pray. Come pray. Come pray.